Prayer is mentioned over 250 times in Scripture. In fact, early on, God refers to Job praying for his wayward friends in Job 42, 8 through 10. We see Abraham early on praying to God in Genesis 20, verse 17. And then at the end of the age, during the tribulation events, and specifically the seal and trumpet judgments, we find the prayers of God's people ascending to God. And we read about that in Revelation 8, verses 3 and 4. Prayer has spanned time. Prayer has stood the test of time. And the question that all of us must ask ourselves today is this: are we taking the time to pray to our Heavenly Father in the name of, if we are Christians, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior? Now, when we talk about prayer, we have to look at it from an angle that I learned when I was in school. I remember I thought at one time I wanted to be a journalist. I don't know what I was thinking. But I remember my teacher saying, if you want to be a journalist, you always got to find out the who, what, when, where, and why. Always got to find that out. And if you can find that out, you're always going to get to the facts. So I thought, why don't we just look at the who, what, when, where, and why, and how of prayer to see what it really says. With regards to who or to whom do we pray to, that seems rather elementary, seems pretty simple. I mean, we know that we pray to God. In fact, Jesus tells us in Matthew 6, verse 6, that we pray to our Father, which is His Father. In John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through me. And so we know that the way that we pray is to God through Jesus, our mediator and intercessor. And that we know today. Now, with regards to when we should pray, Paul has something to say about that. He said in Ephesians 6:18, regarding when we should pray, he said, pray all the time. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, he says, always keep on praying. Now, David prayed like this. As a matter of fact, he shows us this, especially in Psalm 5, verse 3, where he says this: each morning I will look to you in heaven and lay my request before you, praying earnestly. In Psalm 55, 17, David says this. He says, I will pray morning, noon, and night, pleading aloud with God, and He will hear and answer. Now, we've addressed to whom we pray to. We've addressed when and how often we should pray. But Jesus even tells us where we should pray and how we should pray and what we should pray for in Matthew 6, 5 through 15. I want to read this passage today. If anybody's ever said, I need to know more about prayer, well, Jesus saw the importance of it. And so Jesus tells us about it in this passage. And listen closely to what he says as he teaches the Lord's Prayer to his people. He says, and now about prayer. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who pretend piety by praying publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. Truly, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, all alone, and shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father secretly, and your Father, who knows exactly what you need, even before you ask Him. Pray along these lines, Jesus says. It says, our Father in heaven, we honor your holy name. We ask that your kingdom will come now, and may your will be done here on earth just as it is in heaven. Give us our food again today, as usual, and forgive us of our sins, just as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. Don't bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen. And then Jesus concludes in 14 and 15, he says, your heavenly Father will forgive you if you forgive those who sin against you, but if you refuse to forgive them, He will not forgive you. Now, it's obvious that Jesus considered the who and what and when and where and how of prayer to be important and critical when it came to teaching and leading His disciples. But what about the why in prayer? You know, there is a why in prayer. I'm not talking about this why. I'm talking about the W-H-Y. Why do we pray? You see, this has got to be addressed and discussed, because today I believe there are a lot of Christians who would say, I don't know why I pray. Why do we pray? If I put you in a dark room, sequestered you, you were all alone, light shining down, it's just you and I. Now, I know that'd be uncomfortable, I know. But if that light is shining down and I'm asking you, I say, listen, I don't need to know anything else. I just want to know, why do you pray? I'm assuming that the answers would vary greatly among the people that gather here today. In fact, I'm guessing a lot of you would say, well, I pray because of this reason or that reason, but many of them probably wouldn't equal what everyone else is saying. A lot of people say, I pray for different reasons. A lot of people might say, I don't even know why I pray. And some will say, I know because I pray because I have to, because God tells me that I have to. Now, the Illustrated Dictionary of the Bible lays out a long list of answers to that very poignant and pointed question, why do we pray? It claims that the reasons why we pray center around first request, and we understand that, and then praise and worship. Third would be thanksgiving, and then we have these other three things: confession, dedicated action, and lastly, adoration. Now, I think in fairness, we need to cover these. I'm going to cover these briefly because I want to make sure that we understand these, especially as these things pertain to prayer. Now, we understand request, especially when talking about prayer. If you attend Sunday morning Sunday school at 8 a.m. at the Covell Community Church, if you attend Wednesday night Bible study at the Covell Community Church, you will know that preceding both of those services that we take prayer requests. Why do we do it? Because we believe that in that small group of gathered people, there are probably some people that have some needs. And God wants to address those needs, and we need to present those needs before Him because we trust that He'll do something about them. That's why we do it. Our requests are important. We ask a lot of God, and God asks us to ask a lot of Him. In fact, God tells us to bring our needs and requests before Him. Philippians 4:6 says this: don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, present your requests to God. In fact, Jesus reiterates this passage in Matthew 7:7 through 11, five verses. He uses the words seek and ask eight times. Now, sadly, and for many, this is all that prayer ever is. It's just limited to request. Now, our request is great. God tells us to bring our needs before Him. Shouldn't there be more to prayer than just request? Can you imagine for a moment, think about this. This would be a little difficult. But can you imagine for a moment, as you're communicating with your spouse, if all you did was throw out requests to that spouse? Can you imagine? You get up in the morning, you say, good morning. Good to see you. This is my first request, I need you to make me breakfast. Second request, I need you to make me lunch. Third request, I want you to have the exact dinner that I want. Fourth request, I need you to do my laundry. And by the way, I'm only getting started. We got a lot more requests to get through, honey. So you better be listening. I'm assuming you're going to have 10 to 12 minutes. And then you're going to be injured significantly. If we only communicated by request, that relationship would be strained at best. And as a matter of fact, I love this. Listen to this line. This is one that's been around for a while. It says, most men forget God all day and then ask Him to remember them at night. I think that's probably true. We're good at request. When it comes to praying, many of us would say, if we were asked, why do we pray? We'd say, just because I feel like I need to make a request. Why do we pray? For some, it's to praise and worship God. We read these words in 1 Samuel 2, verse 1. This was Hannah's prayer. So we know now this is important. It says, this was Hannah's prayer. How I rejoice in the Lord, how He has blessed me. Now, Hannah had a reason to pray. She was barren. She couldn't have a child. She went, she prayed, she asked for a child, she got a child, she promised to dedicate the child, and that's exactly what she did. And her prayer was a prayer of praise and thanksgiving. She was so moved by the fact that God loved her that much that she presented her child to God and then prayed to God. The psalmist said in Psalm 95:6, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Now, let me ask you something. This is strange, I know. It's an unusual example. But can you imagine for a moment if you communicated only by praise and worship to your friends? Hey, Steve, it's me. Hey, man, what's happening? Hey, not much. Just want to tell you that you are so awesome. Like, you're amazing. I can't get enough of you. You make me want to sing, I love you. I mean, can you imagine? You, honestly, your friend would say he's probably not feeling well. Something's wrong with him. If you communicate with your friend like that, we probably need to talk. Our praise and worship is great. God expects our praise and worship in our prayer time. But there's got to be more to our prayer time than just praise and worship. We pray to our Heavenly Father because we are thankful for His provision and care. You ever go to God in prayer, just thank Him for everything? Just look around and say, God, I thank you for all the things that I have. We do that a lot, I think. We do that when we get answered prayer. That's something that we do. Paul said in Colossians 4, verse 2, he says, don't be weary in prayer. He says, keep at it. Watch for God's answers. Here it comes. And be thankful when they come. Now, are we thankful praying people? I think we are. I mean, if within our relationships, our talking was only restricted to just thanking, though, well, that might be a little strange, don't you think? Can you imagine if you just called your spouse and said, hey, I just want to thank you for everything you do? She'd be very moved by that. Unless you did it for about an hour and a half straight, didn't say anything else, just thank you for everything. That might get a little odd. And yet, sometimes I think that's how we go before God. And we think, well, if we just give Him all of our thanksgiving and nothing else, then we're accomplishing something. God wants more from us than just that. Why else do we pray? What about for confession? 1 John 1, 9 says this, that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and He is just and He will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That is a prayer we can lean on. That is a prayer that comes with a great promise. You ever confessed a mistake or a misdoing to your loved one? You ever done that? That's not fun. It's never easy. Hey, honey, I have to tell you that I did this yesterday. I'm not proud of it, but I think you need to know about it. Normally she'll say, that's okay. I understand. Appreciate you confessed it. Well, wait, but I'm not done. I have like 18 years of confessions I got to make to you. I just haven't told you. How much time do you have? Now, we look at that, we say, well, you know what, in prayer time, that's okay, since God expects us to confess our sins. But if our communication is only restricted to confession, we're going to be missing out on some wonderful communication with our Heavenly Father and with your spouse or loved one as well. It has to be more than just that. You ever prayed for God to put His plans according to His will in action? You see, Jesus' pre-crucifixion prayer, this is one of the greatest prayers in all of Scripture. It's recorded in John 17. It's an example of just that. In fact, it's a prayer of dedicated action because He says, John 17, 1, listen to this. He says, Father, the time has come. In verse 13, He says this. He says, now I'm coming to you. We pray before we take action, don't we? Like, have you ever prayed for somebody for traveling mercies? They'll raise their hand and say, hey, we're going to be traveling. Pray for us. That's dedicated action. Hey, I've got to make this presentation. God, help me to make this presentation, not get lost, tripped up, stumble. That's action. God, I'm going to be doing this today. I pray that it's according to your will. I don't know if it's according to your will, but I want it to be according to your will. That's action. Why else do we pray? Because it's an act of adoration. Now, this is a good one. You see, it's our language of love to our Lord. Paul said in Philippians 1:9, my prayer for you is that you will overflow more and more with love for others. Let me ask you something. You who are married, you who have significant others, you show adoration in your communication. Call your spouse up and just say, I love you. I love you. I don't even know why. I love you. Crazy about you. You do that? I'm going to tell you this. If you do this, if you show adoration in your communication, let me tell you what's going to happen. Your relationship will grow. Your relationship will become stronger. But if all you ever do is call your spouse up and say, I love you. I mean, I really love you. And you just do that for 30 minutes straight. She's going to think something's wrong. He did something bad. We need to talk. Adoration is a major part of communication. And that word communication is extremely important. You see, communication is the lifeblood of our earthly human relationships. Communication, especially as it pertains to our loved ones, is all about closeness and communion and fellowship in these relationships. How well do you communicate with your loved ones? In the first service, you should have seen the looks I was getting. The looks that you guys didn't see and I saw, like, yeah, we got to work on this. We all could use a little work on our communication within our relations. It's something we need to work on. But if we communicate well within our relationships, I promise you this, we will build stronger relationships. You will have a more sound fellowship with that loved one. It works the same way with God. In fact, God expects us to communicate with Him. YourTango.com pulled a large group of mental health professionals. They found that 65% of all divorces stem from a lack of communication. Dennis Rainey, the president and CEO of Family Life, which is a subsidiary of Campus Crusade for Christ, claims that, quote, good open communication is the top need in marriage. If I asked you, why do you pray? Would you answer like this? Because I love to converse and communicate, fellowship, to build that relationship with God and Jesus. Is that why you pray? That's what God wants from us when we pray. See, likely we probably wouldn't pray for that reason. Rather, it would be to pray out of request or for help in our actions or activities, or maybe for confession. But God wants from his people close, loving conversation, fellowship, and communion. I was in Kankakee this week. I was on work detail up in Kankakee. Interesting community. Interesting. And at one point, I came out of my car, and I really didn't even know where I was at, and I came out of my car, and I just stopped, and I thought, this is a good time to talk to God. And so I said, hey, God. I know it seems weird. Probably people looking at me in the parking lot, well, who's this guy? I said, hey, God, thank you for getting me here safely. This is working out better than I thought. Kankakee's not that bad. I kind of like it. And the weather's great. It's not hurricane. It's not like a hurricane like I was here the last time. It's nice out. Thanks, God. See ya. Amen. Weird, isn't it? Sounds strange. He talks to God like that all the time. All the time. But this is what God expects of us. This is our why when it comes to prayer. God wants this from us. Listen to what Billy Graham said. He said, prayer is simply talking to God. And the most important thing I can say about this is that God wants you to talk to him. He loves us, and he has promised to hear us when we pray, end quote. There is a why in prayer. And it's not simply restricted to only request or worship or thanksgiving or confession or dedicated action and adoration. Rather, it's all of them. It's constant, unrestricted fellowship and communion and conversation with God. It happens everywhere. It covers everything, and he wants it from everyone. It has nothing to do with perfect parlance or eloquent speech. Oh, man, I love when the people get hung up on that. I can't pray because I can't speak like that. Thy God, I come before you today asking that henceforth you would bless us in a way that you've never blessed us before. Really? What do you like, the King James Version of the King James Version? He doesn't want that. I think he's up there laughing, saying, why don't you just talk like a regular person, not like King James himself? Hey, God, it's me. What's up? I need your help. I love you. I admire you. You're sovereign. You're powerful. You're great. You're the best. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for these people here today. He wants real communication. And we've messed that up. It's not perfect parlance or eloquent speech. Rather, it has everything to do with personal prayer and practical, heartfelt, real speech. He wants to communicate with us. A little boy was saying his before bed prayers in a very low voice, and his mother was walking by his room and she whispered, I can't hear you, dear. Little boy answered, I wasn't talking to you. Why are we talking to God? What is your why in prayer? I love James 4:8. James says this. He says, draw near to God. God draws near to us. Draw near to God. God draws near to us. How do we draw near to God? Don't we do it by communicating? I remember when I first met my wife, she was very quiet. I remember when I first met her, and I'm very quiet. And I remember when I first met her, and it was strained. I mean, it was tough because she didn't say much. I remember our first date. We went out to a restaurant in Decatur, Illinois. It was called Tommy B's. They were famous. They were famous for their teriyaki chicken. I didn't know if she liked teriyaki chicken. I did, so that's why I went there. And it was great. We went and saw Stallone's movie Cliffhanger. Yes. Why did I do that? Because I didn't want to talk to her, because she wouldn't talk. So I thought, I'm going to spend 2 hours watching Stallone, so I won't force her to talk, because she doesn't want to talk. She didn't like me much at first. Much. I don't know that she likes me now. I hope she does. God wants this kind of communication. Prayer is fellowship that helps build our godly relationship. Prayer is heartfelt conversation that draws us constantly closer to God in this communion. And we have to understand it. I want to read our sermon text today It's interesting. It comes from Psalm 116. It's an odd passage. I've never preached on this. I never even referred to this in a sermon. I know, because I make notes. But if you want to know about prayer, read the book of Psalms. There's a lot of great prayers in there. Moody Bible Institute teaches a course on prayer, teaches on Psalms, but it breaks down the different kinds of prayers that are offered in the book of Psalms. And there's a lot of them. And I could share them with you, but it'd bore you stiff. But I'm going to promise you this. There are all kinds of different kinds of prayer. But I want you to pay close attention to what these words have to say. Listen to the psalmist. We don't know. It may be David. We don't know that it's David. But here's what the psalmist says. He says, I love the Lord. There's your adoration. All right? I love the Lord because he hears my prayers and answers them. Request thanksgiving. Now, if we stop there, it would be a great prayer. But he goes on. Now, listen to this. In verse 2, he says, because he bends down and listens, I will pray as long as I breathe. You know what that is? Folks, that's communication. Now, I married a very quiet woman. Cammie is a very quiet, reserved, peaceful woman. I needed that. A lot. And so anyway, when we bear children, we had children. We've got a 13, 10-year-old. And so they somehow did not take after me. And the world is a better place because of that. But they are very, very quiet. They're both very quiet. And so one of the things is that we were at dinner. We were sitting at dinner. It was about 2 weeks ago. And we were talking. And we were talking because this is what we do. We talk at dinner. And so I want to find out about everything that's going on in their lives. So I get to ask them about how's school? How are your friends? How much homework did you have? What'd you do at lunch? What'd you do at recess? How you played six square? That was fun. I played four square when I was a kid. That was fun. How's everybody doing? How you feeling? Are you feeling better? And as I was asking and asking and asking, I was getting answers like this. No, yes, fine, maybe, uh-huh, yeah, whatever, uh-huh. And the more I asked, the more angry I was getting. I mean, I was seething. I was like, really? I mean, I want to know. Let's communicate. Yes, no, maybe, uh-huh, whatever, Dad, yep, mm-hmm. I said, girls, I think we need to go downstairs. Uh-oh. So we go downstairs, and we have a ping pong table downstairs. So after supper, we took the girls downstairs, and I grabbed a paddle. I know what you're thinking. No, it's not for that reason. But I went downstairs, and I said, girls, I need you to stand at the end of the ping pong table. And so they're like, okay, what is this? I had the paddle, and they're thinking, is he going to spank us this way? And no, not going to do that. I said, I need you to stand at the end of the ping pong table. And I said, I want to show you something, just to give an example of what we're dealing with here. And the girls were standing at the end of the ping pong table, and I just took the ball, and I hit it, and I hit it on the table, and it bounced. I didn't know what to do. It bounced off and landed on the floor. I said, girls, does this make any sense? And they said, yeah, Dad, we get it. I said, really? Tell me what it is. I said, you're hitting the ball to us. We're not hitting the ball back. That means you want us to communicate with you. I said, that's exactly right. Communicating is volleying. I ask you questions. You answer the questions. You ask questions. You answer the questions. Ask me questions. Answer the questions. I said, communicating is volleying. It's like ping pong. I thought it was pretty clever until really all they wanted to do was play ping pong. So, but here's my point. This is what it looks like. And too often, here's what God does. God takes the paddle. God serves the ball. And we let the ball drop. That's what we do. You see, God will always want to volley with you. God's always going to want to communicate with you. God will answer you, and he'll talk to you, and he'll request things of you. That's what he does. But too often, we just don't volley back. We don't talk back. We don't communicate back. And too often, we look at prayer as just something that's one-sided and short-sighted and something that involves just one or maybe two things. And God says, I want more from you. You see, I want fellowship with you. I want to communicate with you. That's what God wants. The psalmist had found this closest that comes from prayer. Communication is the key. Solomon said in Proverbs 15:8, God delights in the prayers of his people. Are our prayers delightful? Let me give you an example. A minister passing through his church in the middle of the day decided to pause by the altar and see who had come to pray. Just then the back door opened. A man came down the aisle. The minister frowned as he saw the man had not shaved in a while. His shirt was kind of shabby and his coat was worn and frayed. The man knelt, bowed his head, then rose and walked away. In the days that followed, each noontime came this chap each time he knelt just for a moment with a lunch pail in his lap. Well, the minister's suspicions grew with robbery, a main fear. He decided to stop the man and ask him, "What are you doing here?" The old man said he worked down the road and lunch was half an hour. Lunchtime was his prayer time for finding strength and power. "I stay only a moment, see, because the factory is so far away. As I kneel here talking to the Lord, this is kind of what I say. I just came again to tell you, Lord, how happy I have been since we found each other's friendship and you took away my sin. Don't know much of how to pray, but I think about you every day. So Jesus, this is Jim checking in today." The minister, feeling foolish, told Jim that that was fine. He told the man he was welcome to come back and pray anytime. "Time to go." Jim smiled, said thanks, and he hurried to the door. But this time the minister knelt at the altar, something he'd never done before. His cold heart melted, warmed with love. He met with Jesus there. As the tears flowed in his heart, he repeated old Jim's prayer. "I just came again to tell you, Lord, how happy I have been since we found each other's friendship and you took away my sin. Don't know how to pray, but I think about you every day. So Jesus, this is me checking in today." Past noon one day, the minister noticed that old Jim hadn't come. The more days passed without Jim, he began to worry some. At the factory, he asked about him, learning he was ill. The hospital staff was worried, but he had given them a thrill. The week that Jim was with them brought changes in the ward. His smiles, a joy contagious, changed people were his reward. The head nurse couldn't understand why Jim was so glad when no flowers, no calls or cards came. Not one visitor he had. The minister stayed by his bed. He voiced the nurse's concern. No friends came to show they cared. He had nowhere to turn. Looking surprised, old Jim spoke up, and with a winsome smile, he said, "The nurse is wrong. She couldn't know that in here all the while, every day at noon, he's here, a dear friend of mine, you see. He sits right down, takes my hand, and leans over and says to me, 'I just came again to tell you, Jim, how happy I have been since we found this friendship and I took away your sin. Always love to hear you pray. I think about you every day.' And so, Jim, this is Jesus checking in today." That's what it looks like. You see, that's what prayer looks like. It's conversation, and it's communication, and it's communion that is deep and heartfelt and real. From the beginning of creation, God has desired a close relationship and fellowship with his people. In Genesis 3:8, it shows us that he was with Adam and Eve in the garden. God walked among them. God wanted to fellowship with them. Sin did something about that. But regarding prayer and communication, God's still all about that. Rick Warren said in his Purpose-Driven Life book, "God wants to be your best friend." Warren goes on, he says, "Become best friends through constant conversation." The Apostle Paul said in Romans 5:11, "Now we rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done in dying for our sins, making us friends of God." Why do we pray? Is it to be closer to God? Is it because we want to be friends with God? Relationships grow with conversation and communication and fellowship. This is accomplished through prayer. David Brainerd once said this. He says, "In the silences I make in the midst of the turmoil of life, I have appointments with God. From these silences I come forth with spirit refreshed and with a renewed sense of power. I hear a voice in the silences and become increasingly aware that it is the voice of God," end quote. And John understood this. He understood this voice. In fact, in 1 John 1, verse 3, he says this. He says, "We are telling you about what we ourselves have actually seen and heard so that you may share the fellowship and the joys that we have with the Father and with Jesus, his Son." Why do we pray? Is it to enjoy this fellowship and build this relationship? Is that why we pray? Is it because we want to accomplish all of these things? We want to do all of these things? Because we want to confess our sins? Because we want to adore him? Because we want to thank him? Because we want to worship him? What happens if we don't communicate with our loved ones? What happens? Doesn't the relationship break down? You ever gone a while without talking to a loved one? Isn't it hard? It makes it difficult, doesn't it? But when we don't talk to our loved ones, we understand that division can happen, that we can be separated for a short time or longer from our loved ones. So I ask, are we constantly praying and communicating with God as long as we breathe? I will pray as long as I breathe. Folks, we don't breathe only in this church. We breathe outside of this church. We breathe at work, we breathe at home, and we breathe everywhere we go. And I ask that we will pray constantly to God and communicate with God everywhere we go. That it would never be only restricted to the walls of this church. That if someone says, why do you pray? That you'll never say, because I just do it in church and because I've been told I have to do it by my church. That's no good. If someone comes up and says, why do you pray? I hope you'll say this. Because I love God. He's my best friend. Because I just want him to know how much I care about him and how much I love him. Sometimes I need things from him. Sometimes I'm afraid of things going on around me and I need him. I just pray because I want to talk to him and I want to be in constant fellowship with him. Oswald Chambers once said, prayer is not simply getting things from God. That's a most initial form of prayer. Prayer is getting into perfect communion with God. This communion is heartfelt and it's full of love and it's constant and there's no end to it. The question is, will we do it? The Bible tells us who to pray to, what to pray for, when we should pray, where we should pray, how to pray. The question that we must be able to answer today is this: why do we pray? He loves us. How often are we telling him, calling out to him, sharing with him how much we love him? Back in 1984, there was a song that came out, and it was a good year for music. 1984, a good year for music. And I remember I was working on the sermon. This song just kept replaying in my mind. I was like, oh my goodness, I know this song. I've never been a big fan of it, but I know it and it applies. And so I got a hold of Dan. I said, Dan, we got to play this song. We're not going to play the whole song, but I got to play the chorus. In 1984, this was a huge hit, but I want you to think about this because next time you hear this song on the radio, I'm hoping that it will allow you to pray. Listen to this. You might recognize this.
Say, I love you.
Stevie Wonder.
I just call to say how much I care.
Oh, yes, I do.
I just call to say I love you. And I mean it from the bottom.
I don't know, you reach out to God and just tell him, hey God, just called to say I love you. Just called out to tell you how much I care. And by the way, God, I mean it from the bottom of my heart. Now we did this in the first service. We're going to do this again. Never done this before, folks. This is new. Oh yeah, cell phone. I called my dad earlier. He was at home. I busted him. We're going to call my mom this time. My dad's probably already told her, but let's just see. There we go. We're going to mic it up. Ringing. There we go. She has no idea we're doing this, by the way. I haven't talked to her about this. Maybe my dad has. Talked to Dad earlier. Didn't go so well.
Good morning.
Hey, Mom. How are you?
Doing good. How are you?
Good. Do you know why I'm calling?
No, I don't.
All right. Well, I'm going to tell you. Have you talked to Dad?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, here's why I'm calling you. And you're on mic. You're mic'd. The whole Covell Community Church Second Service is listening to this conversation, just to let you know. You okay with that?
Okay.
All right.
Good morning, everybody.
Like she can say no, right? Yeah. How about that? Good morning, everybody, for my mom. They can hear you. Okay. So, Mom, here's the reason I'm calling. I'm calling you to tell you that I love you. I'm calling you to tell you how much I care, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart.
thank you. Oh. Thank you very much.
Okay, that's a Stevie Wonder song, too, by the way. That's a Stevie Wonder song, Mom. But you know, and the church needs to know how much we talk. We talk a lot, do we not?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, normally about every day, every other day. We have a long-standing conversation. I did this with Dad earlier. You're a lot more warm than he was. So that's why I'm calling. Just wanted to let you know. And this is the sermon topic is there is a why in prayer, and this is just a message for everyone to know that we really do need to reach out to our loved ones and tell them how much we care, constantly and consistently. Right, Mom?
Exactly. Whether it be by phone, by letter, by email, or however. But just staying in contact and remembering that God is with us every minute of the day and night.
All right. Hey, Mom, you can take over the sermon from here. Keep on going.
I love you and keep it up. And it's all by the grace of God that we continue each day.
Okay, good. All right. Amen. Wow. All right. Well, you're preaching next week, all right?
Okay.
All right.
I love you.
All right. Love you, too. See you, Mom.
I love the congregation, and thanks for calling.
Oh, you. All right. No problem. See you later. Say bye to Mom.
Bye, honey.
Bye, Mom. All right. All right, there you go. All right, so we'll never forget that, will we? She won't, I guarantee it. All right, so here's the reason we do this, folks. And it's true, I call my mom and dad a lot. I call my brother like 8 times a day. He drives him nuts. Drives him nuts. He blows me off normally half the time. Here's the point. We call those people that we love. We reach out to those people that we love. That's what we do. This is what's inside of us. This is what moves us and motivates us. Do you love God? Amen. If you love God, then reach out to him. You're not going to call him. That would be weird. But reach out to him and tell him how much you love him and tell him how much you care. And make sure and do this consistently because, folks, use your relationship model that God has blessed you with on this earth. As you're sitting next to your family members and friends, remember that that is what keeps us and sustains us as couples and as people. That we're called to tell them how much we love them. That we're called to reach out and tell them how much we care. God wants this. There's a why in prayer. Why do we pray? Because we want to converse with God and we want to talk to God and because we love God. Do it every day. Do it multiple times per day. Do it in places that you never thought you could do it. Do it in places when people may be looking at you and saying, whoa, who's he talking to? That's okay. But just continue to do it. Let's stand and close. You know, I did this in the first service. We're blessed. I mean, we are blessed. Dan and John back there running music, picking out our songs, and just making it mesh. And with Velma had to go to a baptism. That's why she ran out of here. But the thing is, Dan, I don't know how you do it. I always tell him, like, I don't know how you do it. You're great. And so for Dan and John, thank you for what you do for our music. Velma, thank you for what you do for our music. She'll know this. We did this earlier. But it's neat how they can choose these songs and how they match. And it's true that Jesus does love us. And he expects so much from us. But the thing that he wants from us is a relationship. That's it. A relationship. A strong, tied-in, built-in, growing relationship. And that comes in so many different aspects, but especially through prayer. Why do we pray? Why do we pray? I am hoping it's because we love him, because we want to build that relationship. So today we're going to do something a little different. We've done a lot of things different. My mom would attest to that. So we're going to do something a little bit differently. I'm going to sit back. We're going to close this service with a benediction. But it's not me praying. It's going to be all of us praying silently. Silently. Don't make it audible. Silently. And I just want you to talk to God. Just talk to God. And just converse with him. And tell him how much you love him. If you need something from him, tell him you need something from him. If you're grateful to him, thank him. If you want to adore him, tell him how much you're crazy about him. Whatever it is, just talk to him. Let's pray.